بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. For the past couple of days, in fact weeks, maybe running into months, the general complaint is fitnas. Every coming day is coming with a new challenge, a new test, a new trial. So now, in the face of these trials and challenges, what is to be done? So there may be two types of challenges and tests. One is a test that is within your control, you can correct it, you can put some remedial steps. So you can correct it easily with someone that comes under your influence, with someone that you normally talk to. You correct him in his business matters, etc. So what's there in correcting him in his deeny things? Health issues, you will talk to him, look after your health. Health issues, you will try and be responsible. So when in health issues you can talk to him, then can't you talk to him about deeny matters? So this is one type of a situation where you can control, you can correct, you can rectify to that. And the other situation is beyond your control. Can't do anything about it. So people will normally talk about Umrah, can't go there, vaccine, or distancing, etc. This is the type of talk they will give. So one is to go on talking about the situation, and one is to think, alright, in the situation, what can be done? So, the Rasulullah in his kindness, in his muhabbat for the ummah, he's always showed some alternatives, some substitutes. Alright, this is a situation, what you can do. Repeatedly this hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud. Hazrat Ma'bad radiallahu anha, she was feeling very much remorseful. For some valid reason she couldn't participate in the Hajj with Hazrat Rasulullah. So the Rasulullah gave her the comfort that Umratun fi Ramadan ka hajjatin ma'i. You do Umrah in the month of Ramadan, and that's equivalent to doing a Hajj with myself. So this, to interject, it means you will get the same reward. It doesn't mean that you will be absolved of the Hajj. If there is a Farz Hajj in place, you have to do it. You understand, Hadith also requires some professionalism, someone that will elucidate and explain, not to take it on surface level and continue with this. Some many years ago, I was sitting in Etikaf. So one person, now he's late, so he came here in Ramadan. He says, I've got a backlog of qaza namazes. I'm on my way to Umrah. And I know that a namaz there in the Haramain, or in the Haram Sharif of Makkah Mukarramah, is equivalent to 100,000. So can't I just knock it off? Read a couple of namazes here, all my namazes in Ramadan, in the Haram Sharif. So can I just knock it off? So I could see there's a businessman. So I had to talk to him in business sense. I said, if you're doing the calculation accordingly, you will not only knock off all the backlog, but you'll have a credit account as well. Because one namaz is 100,000, right? So you couldn't have missed out so many namazes, right? So 100,000 you're covered, and perhaps you won't have to read namaz for the rest of your life also. Tomorrow, don't joke, I'll tell you. See, this is only with regards to the rewards, not the obligation. Obligation, you have to do it in its time. If you can, you didn't do it, then do the qaza. Otherwise, you'll be responsible, you'll be answerable. But But Rasulullah, his kindness, he had shown alternatives, some substitutes. Can't do Umrah, you can't do Hajj, alright. So, are there any alternatives? Yes, there are a lot of alternatives. The hadith, it comes that you make wuzu and proceed towards the masjid to perform your ishraq or charge namaz, then it is like a person putting on his ihram and moving towards Hajj. Can we do that? Or if we can't do the original, but somewhere we can meet up, substitute. The person looking at his father's face or his parents' face with muhabbat and respect, obedient child, as he looks at his parents' face with muhabbat and respect, Hajj mutaqabbala, maqbool Hajj salah. Person performing Fajr namaz and then sitting till Ishraq namaz, performing two or four rakats, then he's getting a Hajj or Umrah sawab. So if you couldn't do the original, you can somewhere do some substitute, something to compensate. But now, we're not doing the original, we're not doing the alternative, but we're talking. This was happening, how can they do this, how can they do that? We won't support the wrong, but this is also incorrect that we just engage our time in venting our feelings and stop there. Right? Every Muslim will feel that he can't go to these places here, and he feels affected about it. But then, what can we do about it? We would like to eat biryani, right? Or we would like to eat chops, braise, right? All of us enjoy. But that doesn't mean if you can't eat biryani, chops and fry, etc., you mustn't eat at all. Now eat whatever you've got now, chana, dar, ke, mug, masoor, all that. The day you can afford it, eat that as well. At least this will let you run until you get the original things. But now you're not eating the chops and chips, etc., and not eating the dal, what will happen? You'll starve yourself. And this principle is borne out by the Ashab al-Kahf. See, Ashab al-Kahf got a lot of lessons. But what we are doing is just looking at it as a story. We're not getting into the depth of the story. So there was a discussion, and some say it was three, plus the fourth one being the dog. Someone says four, and the fifth one being the dog. So this is all speculation. Right? So one person comes up and he says, see, Rabbukum a'alamu bihim. Allah Pak knows best. Allah Pak knows best about what's the exact number. Rabbukum a'alamu bi'iddatim. He knows best what's the exact number. But now, you better do something constructive. فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَيُّهَا أَسْكَى طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِنُ وَلَتَلَطَّفْ. We're going to get into this discussion. It is just guesswork, conjecture. It is taking a shot in the dark. Nobody can come to the real, the exact conclusion. Can you come to the exact conclusion? Saying three, the fourth one, the dog. He's saying four, and the first one be the dog. He's saying six or seven, and the eighth one be the dog, right? So I ask you, is there any way that you can get it right? Can't get it right. So now, you're going to be deliberating in this manner, discussing, deliberating, are you getting anywhere? So rather do something, exert your energies in something that you're going to get some constructive thing. What is it? فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِكُمْ. We're lying here, don't know how long, half a day, one day, we don't know. But really, definitely we are hungry. So, arrange something now. فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِكِكُمْ هَذِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Get something done now. Get something constructive done. Now you sit down here, you got a puncture. Hey, puncture now. The tire person, the Dunlop tire is not so good. And why we did this? And we should, but you have to still reach Cape Town. You only by Harding. You only reach Harding. You're crying about it. So you sit down and cry to Qiyamah. Nothing will happen. You say, alright, let's fix it up now. Move. Next time, we'll take more precautions and we don't get into this problem. But now we're just crying there, that's what, and not doing anything constructive. I say, yeah, akal mein aane wali cheez hai. It's a sensible thing. Ulama, people that have got a little bit of maturity of deen, we need to be more constructive, more sensible, more understanding. Today, come back to this topic, inshallah. So there was one old man, very old, about 70, 71. Sigra to old. Amar ummati bayna 60 wa 70. That's the lifespan, the normal lifespan of this ummat, between 60 and 70. And now you say he's still young. So, phir tum budde kab honge? When will you be old? So, see, when the person reaches 40, then Allah Pak makes his hisab kitab easy. When he's 60, Allah Ta'ala gives him an inclination towards the hereafter. When he's 70, then the heavens begin to love him. Malaika begin to like him. And when he's 80, then Allah Ta'ala forgives his small sins, right? And 90, when he touches 90, then all his past and future all wiped out. Right? Number two is Asirullahi fil ard. He's like a prisoner. Because now, there's nothing left in him. Right? The crave to eat, etc., sensual pleasure, everything now, everything is finished now, right? And number three is, يُشَفَّعُ لَهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِ. And he is granted the permission to intercede for his household. So, can't we talk about positive things? So this man, right, he spoke something about his own biography. Now something learning, although it was a worldly experience, but the same worldly thing can be used in a dini context as well. Illustrations the Quran Sharif gives sometimes about worldly things. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. Sometimes to illustrate a point, Allah Ta'ala speaks about a spider. So can't you use the dunya for a dini reason? People will relate, things that they will relate. So they can apply the same concept onto the deen and go on moving. He says, now this is something over 50 years ago. My estimation is over 50 years, 52, 54 years ago. When he had just finished school, right? 55, whatever. He just finished now, he's looking for a job. So he took a liking for aluminium. I suppose around that time, it was the starting of aluminium. Aluminium was just coming up then. Right? So he took a liking for it. So he saw one company manufacturing and doing, so he went up. So Africana firm, so he started off. So the job they gave him was what they would give a menial person. But how they got him first? When they spoke to him first, they asked him, "All right, do you know anything about aluminium?" So I don't know anything about it. But that boor that was testing him at that time, that was interviewing him, says, "Lucky you spoke the truth. Otherwise, had you spoken a lie, aise hum aapko phaste ke chati ka doodh yaad aa jata. We'd have got you so badly involved that you would have regretted the day you were born. But you spoke the truth, all right, we'll take you accordingly." Now, they're using the right principles, but the right principles only for dunya. The same principles we can use for deen. Now, the person is coming and says, "I don't know anything about it," right? So, now you know how to work with him. But he says, "Well, I know about it, and then you put him onto the mill, to the machine, and if he can mess up then, he's going to be hurtful to you and embarrassing to him. Both ways now, you don't know how to fire him, and you don't know how to keep him back. What to do now?" He says, "I know about it, but he's making big blunders here." So that first step, he says, "I don't know anything about it." So now they give him a very menial, basic job to go and wash that aluminium. So he's wearing an overall, it's white in color. So around 3 o'clock, that overall is totally black, absolutely black. But the job contract is till 4 o'clock. Now he keeps him on. He says, "All right, today you're going to work till 6 o'clock. Now, he's new still, the company said, "No, it's going to be overtime and you have to work till 6 o'clock. You're new, you're young, very adventurous, and at that time, when you're about to knock off, he says, "I'm going to work till 6 o'clock today." "All right, boss." He says, "I know I need the job. I can't show a frown on the face, and happily I just have to execute." He did that. All right. Then he says, "All right, you know what? Now, he's a young person." Now, those young people have something planned for the weekend. Saturday, Sunday, they're off. Everything is planned for the weekend, you know, long in advance, where the chutti is coming. So, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months in advance, we're going to go here, do this, or Cape Town, or Table Mountain. If we don't want to look at it, who'll look at the thing? So, you're all that planned up. So, everything is lined up.
At the 11th hour, the Buri said, this weekend we on, we're going to work. Now, he needs a job. At that time they used to say, Bob for a job. What? There was, I can remember those days, Bob for a job. I know, I can imagine how much you're getting. Right? Small job, 1-2 hours, you get one Bob. One Bob was 10 cents. Right? So they say, Bob for a job. Right? So you do that thing. Now, putting through the weekends. Small thing of discipline. Hey, you're going to cut your hair today. Shave off complete. Can you imagine now, you're not in the madrasa. It's a job, right? But he's asking you to shave off your hair for the day. Shave it off. You can't even frown, you can't even object, can't do anything. Small discrepancy, right? Next week, you're suspended. Suspended. No pay and you're suspended 1 week. He said, listen. Right? Now, after all this, the boss is teaching him the maxim, he's teaching him the principles of soul. He says, you know what, your spine? The boss took a liking for him now. Now, he says, you know what is a spine? He says, yeah, spine, the backbone, rear ki haddi. He said, no. When we talk about a spine, what we talk of a man, right? And when he's got the discipline in him, then he's got a spine. Now, what is the function of the spine? Take a person without a spine. Can he move? Can he do anything? He's spineless. Can he do anything? Can't do anything. So he says, to be able to be functional, to be able to be proactive, to be able to be doing things, then you need that discipline. So see what we have taken you through, we have pushed you through the mill, but we have pushed you through the mill for us to teach you discipline. But by the grace of God, we're seeing that you are complying, you're conforming. When you're conforming, there is some discipline in you. When there's some discipline in you, then we have some expectations in you. We will take you to a second level, right? Until they brought him at a level where now he's officer, he's in charge of others, right? But now they have to take him through the whole disciplinary pattern, whole. Now, this man is teaching, telling me, I'm listening to him very carefully, because the subject seems to be nice. His whole Sawani Hayat is showing me what happened here at this level, at that level. He says, now, the youngsters that are coming now, of recent, now, 10, 20 years now, the coming of recent, it's a different chapter on its own, different chapter, completely different chapter. One is, they will pretend to know the job. They will say they know it. And halfway they don't know it. And he says, in any field, take it in any field. He says, whether you take it in medicine, take it in engineering, take it in law, whatever. But he will make it appear as though he knows it. Now, when he makes it appear as though he knows it now, and then he doesn't know it, then it's a problem, right? And even if he knows it a little bit, but he's not executing, he's not accomplishing. He's not taking in the full zimmadari of seeing that that work is accomplished. 4 o'clock, shayila, that's the mentality. I must go. Whether it's done or not done, I must go. They taught us discipline. He says, fortunately, I was in the army also. Spent some time there, learned the discipline there. He says, now that Buddha is in charge. How he landed up, Allah knows. But he was there as well. He says, that bed sheet must be stiff. Mustn't be a crease. Right. Alright. Whatever it was, whatever the maqsad was, but the whole idea was to teach discipline. And I say, they taught the person discipline. Says that, but I, alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah, says, I had that talab in me to learn, the desire to learn. Even though, when I was learning that aluminium, sometimes you give one shot. They pay you, not to hit you, right? You're the madrasa or it's a different thing, right? They're not paying you to hit you, to get some work out of you, but in the process they give you one shot, two shots they give you. And with a smiling face you just take it. Sometimes they're swearing you, they're shouting you, or they teach you the whole thing. But you see, he says, I need to learn this thing here. When I need to learn this thing here, I have to take in the stride. Otherwise I wouldn't have been what I am now. He says, when they saw my colors, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah, they were doing some repair work in the Haram Sharif, Makkah Mukarramah. I offered to do the work. A lot small interview, they offered me the job. Because they saw how far I was gone. but had I not been able to accept the disciplinary action, I wouldn't have been where I am. Now, we don't want that. Nobody must discipline us, nobody must say one thing. He said one thing, the person's face is frowning, he can't listen to one thing. Then how are you going to correct the person? How are you going to work with the person? One thing, ek baat bhi sun nahi sakte. Talib ra sabur bashad wa hamul. They say, the one that is learning, he needs to be very patient. You're learning the job now. Although, alright, you are working there, but you're learning the job. You don't have the full command of the work. When you don't have the full command of the work, understand, I don't have the full command, I'm learning. Although I am a worker, but I am still in the process of learning. When I'm in the process of learning, I must understand that I'm in the process of learning. If some mistake is shown to me, pointed out to me, I must accept the thing, I must execute. But now, a small mistake is shown and I'm frowning. I'm moving away, I'm running away. Will that work ever be accomplished? This is now, the youngsters that are coming in the last 15, 20 years, it's happening. They want to work. You tell them something, they don't want to listen. And he's telling me, the response they give you, say, boss, but you can also make a mistake, so what's the if I make a mistake? You can also make a mistake, so what's the if I make a mistake? Now, our problem is, our community is learning this thing here from the unions, and we are applying it to dini things as well. Right? So that zahniyat is being influenced by what? By the unions. Union is not a Muslim thing. It's a non-Muslim thing. They're giving that non-Muslim type of an influence onto your mind. And you're accepting it. I ask you, are we taking the right influence? Are we taking the right influence? We're not taking it at all. Anybody can give any influence, but just apply to our mind, and we're taking it. We're not understanding where this thing is coming from. And is it acceptable, not acceptable? Is it the right thing or not the right thing? But no, that thing appeals to mind. Now, the second thing is telling me. The third thing is telling me. Yes, now this youngster is talking about the young generation. He's talking about the last 15, 20 years, what's going on. I'm sure Mr. Ismail will be taking careful notes. Because it applies to him also. Right. The third thing that's happening, he says, kaam to kaam ke chor hai. They're not doing the thing like how they're supposed to be doing. See, there's a difference in doing any worldly work and a dini work. Dini work mustn't be compared to the worldly work. Because deen is what you live for, what you die for. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati illahi rabbil alameen. La sharika la. Wa bidhalika umirtu ala all muslimin. It's what you live for, what you die for. A dini work must be such that until I haven't accomplished, I'm here, I'm to do it, right? That person wants some attention, I'm here in the weekend, on the holidays, but if you want it to happen, I will be here for you, I will try to work it out. You know, you talk of our kabis and all that. But do you see their personal lives? Their personal life is, one student wants some attention, and he's got time now, just after his tahajjud namaz. Now it will be about 20 past 3 or something, right? I got time at 20 past 3. Another student comes, said, just before Fajr I got time for you, right? One person, you come before tahajjud, come at, say, 2:45, come then, I got time for you. So the night is taken, the day is taken, that morning is taken. One person comes, you know, the only time I've got is the holiday because I'm in madrasa, I'm an ustad, I need to learn. I need to teach and learn, I need to teach this kitab next year, and I need to learn the things. Alright, come on the Ramadan holiday, I got one and three quarter month, I will teach you, I'll sacrifice my holiday, I'll teach you. But you see, deed is a different deed. So, but I'm not being paid for it, so why must I stay on? So that's the mentality. But where we got this mentality? From the kuffar. Is that the right mentality? Kuffar, if he thinks like that, let him think that because he's purely materialist. You are a materialist. You call yourself religious. So have you got anything of religion? Deen is saying, right, that person needs to know. He's going to teach a whole host of people, a whole class of people, 20, 30 children, he's going to teach youngsters, elders, right? And that can be a sawab jariya for you for so many years. Now that spirit, Ma Ismail Mehtar sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, some of you may know of him. Formerly from Tongat, then he had moved on to Palok and passed away eventually. So he gave on advice, says, you see, to ulama and to people that are working for deen, says, you see, Your employment is remunerated, but you're getting a recompense. That's an employment. But what are you doing voluntarily for deen? So employment is one thing, you're getting a recompense for that, right? But what is the deeny work that you are doing? Are you doing anything purely deen? No recompense, nothing. In ajriya illa alallah. To have some type of a semblance with the anbiya. In ajriya illa alallah. Ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. Something I want to do purely for Islam. So he gave a suggestion what you may do. Alright? You have about 4 or 5 students. And you arrange their boarding, etc. And their feeding. And teach them personally. Teach them personally, you arrange for the boarding, the feeding, etc. But you teach them personally, giving them a personal touch. So, one is what you're getting recompense for, rewarded for. And one is those students, for some reason or the other, they come to you at a very awkward time. But you are there for them. Right? I'm available for you. Come to me at this time, after Isha, before Maghrib, at Tahajjud time, before Fajr, after Fajr. But I'm available for you. Before, after the class have all left, I'll be available for you. I'm Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, and he's teaching one student, and he's not just grasping. One time, second time, third time, he's not just getting it. So now, it's in class, so Imam Shafi let it pass now. After, he taught him, he explained that same concept to him, approximately 50 or 60 times in class. But that boy wasn't just getting it. After class, alright, I'll teach you, don't worry. Well, he saw the talab in that person. He says, I'll teach you. After class, is one stroke he got it. Yeah, see, talib bayad hamul wa sabur. The teacher and the student needs to be tolerant and patient. Sometimes in a classroom situation, what happens? That person that is learning, that learner, he's overawed. What the people say, so his mind is now a little bit, it's jammed up, right? With the presence of the students around, he feels a little bit jammed up, he feels awkward. But then, you didn't scold him, you didn't shout him, you say, you're stupid now, you can't get this thing here, you're so thick in your mind, you know. He didn't use that approach. Explained to him, but he saw now that he wasn't grasping. And perhaps not grasping because of the presence of other students, alright, I'll teach you afterwards. But he made sure that the student gets it. See now, you talk of them now, Imam Shafi, Imam and Rahmatullah Ali. Muhammad Rahmatullah, someone comes to him from a far land, right? Far off land. I need to learn something. I haven't got the time. It's the only time. I've got this amount of time. But it come after Isha. Muhammad Rahmatullah is teaching him. In the process now, that person is feeling a bit sleepy. So he sprinkles a little bit of water, teaches him. But he gains so much. 1 year or 2 years. That's the only time that was available for Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah. Imam Muhammad would say, someone asked him, that you're teaching the entire night, but you're such a great alim, looking into the kitabs, and you're teaching the whole night, etc., etc. But what's the need for you to do this? He says, the whole world is sleeping. With this guaranteed feeling, with this confidence, with the security, that if we have a situation, we'll refer it to Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi. Why they're sleeping? They're sleeping, they're relaxed, because they feel that there is a referral point. There is a referral point. If the referral point himself goes to sleep, then what's going to happen to these people? You see that fikr, concern. We need to grasp the thing and we need to pass it on. We need to grasp it and we need to pass it on. Now, the same Mali Ahmad's father was telling me. Now, the whole style is different. The style is now that whether I do the work or I don't do it, whether I accomplish or I don't accomplish, that's not my concern. If he makes a mistake, he can tell you, boss, you can make a mistake, what's wrong if I make a mistake? He can tell you straight like that. So that respect is gone. When the respect is gone, the discipline is gone. When the discipline is gone, that spine is a spineless person. Can you get the work out of him? But at the time of the salary, remuneration is very quick to jump. I want the full salary. You say, they'll work it out. So many hours I worked, and this is the rating, and straight away they'll give it to you, They can work it out so perfectly, so accurately they can get that worked out. But the work, they can't get it accurately. Simple work, complicated work, but they can't just get it right. Because the mind is not in the work, the mind is in the money. Here he says, he's telling me now, last point he's telling me. But I enjoyed the point. He says, you see, you can learn the work. If you got the talab, it will take your time, but you learn the work. And you learn it perfectly if you got the talab. Learn, grasp it, and learn to impart it as well. Not only to learn it, you learn to grasp it, and learn to impart it as well. He says, there's 2 points at the end. He says, see, when you learn something, right, you got it in your mind, you got it in your hands. That nobody can rob you of. But if you've got money, you can be robbed, can be cheated. So your investment is learning, your investment is in your hands and your mind. You got it in your hands, you got it in your mind, nobody can rob you of. But you stretch it up in money and you think that thing will be preserved. What happens? And there's a deregulation, the notes are going down, everything's happening, fluctuation, everything's happening, and the money is gone. But if you got the thing, you acquired it, got it in your mind, learned the thing properly, wherever you go, you appreciate it, you love it, and you respect it. Yeah. Now the last thing that is a pure dini thing, I like what he said, you see. He said, you learn the stuff. Maal aur paise ye kismat ki baat hai. Kya? Maal aur paise ye kismat ki baat hai. Then being a wealthy person or a poor person, that's taqdeer. But now you've learned the trade, you've got a lot of wealth. Whether you became a wealthy person or you didn't become a wealthy person, that's a secondary thing. That's upon taqdeer. And the way out of this whole thing is to be happy and pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Preferred that I remain a poor person, right? Very good. I got a job, I can do something, I can make ends, I can work a plan out of any situation, I can do it, right? So that is taqdeer ki baat. So you're happy with the taqdeer, but you haven't deprived yourself of learning something, learning whatever it is, small or big, but you learned that thing and you learned it perfectly. So any situation you can find a way out. Now, how much would we have been advanced if we just went on these guidelines, you know, how much we would have been respected, how much we would have been loved in any field, be it dini or dunya, but this, some guidelines that is given of his life, what he's seen. He's worked now about 55 years, still working. But this 55 years, what he's earned, what he's learned, it's really a treasure. So we're coming back to this question that people are putting presently. But what do we do? I said, now there's two type of situations. One is not in your control. You can fix it up, you can correct it, right? Then when you can fix it up, you can correct it, you can do something, then put your mind and do the thing. Apply yourself as well. One person came to us, Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and so Mawlana corrected him. Sometimes Mawlana sees the situation. It won't be every situation that he will shout and reprimand. But if the person needs the shouting, Mawlana won't hesitate in shouting him. So he shouted him. So now he answered, "Hum isi wajah se aate hai ke taaki hamari islah ho jaye. We come here to make our islah." Mawlana tried to see, there's two situations. What is the situation where you can use your magaj and get the thing right? And use your brain and get it right. So where you can use your brain and get it right, then apply your brain and get it right. Otherwise tomorrow you sit on the hose and make number two there and say, no, we come here so that you can correct us. But that was obvious. You could understand that that's not the place to make number two. See, if you don't have enough brain, see what's going on, how it's working, apply yourself correctly. Nobody will feel uncomfortable. Nobody will feel uneasy. Everybody will be comfortable. But now you're not using your brains, and you're not seeing the ethos, how it runs, you don't see the ambience, and then you're doing your own thing there. Obviously, someone is going to get irritated, someone is going to shout you. But if you use your brain, alright, I don't understand how it's working, let me see, I'm standing in the surf, so how do they expect us to surf, stand on the surf? So I see and I observe, and I'll get it right. But now you don't know it yourself, and you don't want to learn the thing, you're not interested. So this is the type of people that we are working with, that they want the money, but not the added responsibility, not the parallel responsibility, they don't want it. So now that's where we are now. And because of this, we're stuck. We can't just move. If everybody thought, alright, you know, I'll get the shouting, it's alright, I learned something. I learned something, I progressed, I benefited something. If I had that type of mind, then I would have been able to move. But I don't have that mind. About 3 days ago, so I was advising someone. So explained to you, see. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah explained. You're getting challenges, right? You get challenges right through everywhere, you get challenges. On the phone you get a challenge, at home you get a challenge, outside the home you get a challenge. But then learn, have an open mind to learn. When you have an open mind to learn, then you have learned, and the people that are coming after your children, people coming under your influence, they also benefit. But you close yourself, no, I'm getting shouted here, this is what's happening. So you got yourself reserved. So you have locked yourself, and you have prevented your descendants from any type of progress. Because now you have something happened not according to your tabiat, you lock yourself. When you lock yourself, can you progress? You can't progress. You locked yourself and you locked the people that come under you. It's not right. It was a learning experience. It's a learning curve. I got shouted, this happened, that happened. But I progressed. I learned something. I learned something very great. This Musaba is telling me. Up till now, even if it is a non-Muslim teacher that taught me, grade 1 or whichever other grade I was in, he taught me. If I see him, I stand with respect, with attention. That whatever it was, he hit me, or whatever he did, but I learned under him, and I know I need to appreciate, I need to show that respect. See how these people think. It's a different type of people. They thought the right way, Allah Ta'ala gave them that progress, he put out a lot of good in their hands. Right? A lot of things they did. So, now it is a domestic life. It is a personal life. And what do you do in a personal life? So about 3-4 days someone came. So I told him, see, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah gave the story and he gave it repeatedly. So one person asked 500 awliya the same question. Or 3-4 questions. But from the 3-4 questions, I just want to share one question. The question that he put forth is, Hoshyar kaun hai? Hoshyar is a constructed word. You know, in Arabic you say murakkab. English you say constructed. English also you get constructed words. Like you say, window is from wind and door. Constructed window. So up till now I think most of you didn't know it was a constructed word, right? You say mat rest. Right? From the way I'm pronouncing, you know exactly what two words were used to construct the word, right? But it's not an English class that I'm delivering now. Study of something of Islam. But I'm showing you that these things also apply in different languages. Right? Murakkab, Izafi, Tawsifi, etc., etc. So this word Hoshyar, it's a Murakkab word. It's constructed from two words. One is Hosh and one is Yar. Hosh means person that is in his senses. Yar can mean a friend or a person, etc. Right? So when you say Hoshyar, the person that is maintaining his senses, his composure. And you can diffuse a lot of problems, right? A lot of problems can be diffused if you just maintain your composure, right? One person was telling me, right, that the neighbor was complaining, right? Complaining about a tree or something, you know, my tree, you know, because you were burning on my line, so my tree went away. So right now, I'll uproot my tree and plant it here. Now that auntie got no words, it was diffused, straight away it was diffused. Straight away. I can imagine, very well imagine. Say for example, the man said, oh, you know man, you know, it's a building thing here and it's difficult, you know, you don't understand all these things, type of things. What would that auntie have said? That argument would have continued. One thing to the other, second thing, third thing, fourth thing. An argument would have never ended. Say, you know, it's Muslim people, this is how they behave. No consideration, no respect for neighbors, etc. But one shot, said, oh no, you know, my plumbing got affected, don't worry. Whatever the cost, I will bear the cost, don't worry. That man got such a shock, he said, oh, don't worry, I'll fix my own thing after it. But you see, there's a way to diffuse things. If you enter into an argument, a discussion, who's right, who's wrong, it's going to be a prolonged thing, process, it's going to be bitter feelings, and he's going to wait for situations to nail you down, knock you down, and you're going to be waiting for the same. But is that the way that we live? You know, in the old days they say dung pichol, just cover the faults and move on. Avoid the problem and move on. And we don't understand this thing. That's the spirit of Islam. Avoid the problem, move on. You need the person, he's a neighbor. He may need you, you may need him. And you are living together. You don't want to have a bad blood. But now how do you make it work? Right. Let him be the winning partner, right? But this is a problem, I don't worry, I'll fix it up. Cost you something, but you fixed up. That person in turn now, he'll feel so embarrassed. You know, I did this, I put him in such so much of problems, right? I must do something to fix the relationship. That's what he'll think. So you should be the winner, not the loser. Let you be the winner, not the loser. So there's a way to do it, right? Just quiet, move away from the problem, show a small smiling face, and you come out of the situation, and you come out of the situation so well. So now, this person is asking 500 awliya kiram, hoshyar admi ko. Who is the intelligent person? Hosh, senses, yar person. That is person that is in his senses, called his composure. He hasn't lost the composure. So he says, hoshyar is the person that can maintain composure irrespective of situation. Wife, business partner, customer, client, whoever. I know when you are training, you know, 6-7 years away, now we have to be in the shop. So sometimes we'll argue with the customer. So now the boss above us, which says, customer is always right. That the principle that the tears of 1 year, customer is always right. Don't argue. So they say the worker is arguing with the customer. But the boss tells him, you know what, I told you, customer is always right. He kept quiet. After some time, the boss asked him, have you got any explanation for this? He said, yeah, you know what happened? That customer was saying that you are an idiot. So, hoshyari ki bhi koi intiha nahi. Hazrat is giving this story. You see, these are concepts, and Hazrat Ji took a lot of time to drill this concept into our minds. But now we just got a half an hour, three quarter session, let's give all that. I can remember sometimes he's sitting 4 hours, 5 hours, one stretch, one sitting. One sitting, one stretch, and he's drilling those values into us. Giving it. Now we understand, alright, this old man, what he was doing, was really rooting these things into us. He took all the pain, all the trouble, we didn't remunerate him, didn't pay him for anything. But now he had such a fikr concern, such a love and a passion for the ummah, you know, I must do it, get this thing right. See that muhabbat that he's got for the ummah of Rasul Pakistan. Sitting 5 hours, 4 hours, no remuneration. But he's giving this concept, he's drilling it to us. He's giving a story, he says that the royal elephant broke loose. So there was a royal decree, announcement, that everybody must get into the homes, lock the doors. Now, everybody has locked the doors, one child is 5-6 years of age, he's left there on the road, and within meters of the elephant, nobody got the courage to pull the child away. You were risking your life, just within meters of the elephant. But the child is calm, composed, not excited at all. He saw a small little pup, he caught it by the tail, and he hurled that thing, and he swung it right on the snout. Now these animals have it, if they hear something a little bit different, alien, not what they used to, they get a shock, they get startled. So that thing took a turn and went back. Now Hazrat is giving a lesson from this. You see, the whole world got excited, they got overwhelmed, they lost their senses, right? This child maintained his composure. He could control such a big situation, such a, you know, a situation of such magnitude, he could control it when he maintained composure. So I have to explain this person, you see. See, in a domestic situation, you must remember two things. One is, don't you try to put it right. Because, خُلِكَ مِنْ ضِلْعٍ إِوَجِنْ. She's made of a crooked rib, right? Now you're giving tit for tat. You're not going to get right. You're not going to get right. Either she may keep quiet or you may shout, right? Something will happen. You feel miserable or she'll feel miserable. One of these. But now, that's not using your senses. Hoshyar. It's not a hoshyari kalamat thing. It's not an indication of using your brains and senses. So you'll ask, alright, what is the way out? They're going to talk something crooked, you know, something out of place. You know. They're going to talk about something. It's going to happen sometime or the other, sometime every day it's going to happen. So, the right conclusion, what I thought of, is adhikha kama abkaitaha. Adhikha kama abkaitaha. Like you made a cry, whether it was tears or the heart was crying, but look for a way how you can put a smile on the face. Maybe you can't give in to all her demands. I need to do this, I need to get this. Right. MashaAllah. But being a man, you will maintain your composure. And when you maintain the composure, you learn a way how to bring about a smile, how to make her laugh. And it's forgotten afterwards, but a small little adjustment, and you can just gain control over the situation. Otherwise, you're not fit to be called a man. The man is the driver, driving a kumbi. And the passengers in the kumbi is all making musti and mischief, etc. They're coming out of control. Should you also lose your control and composure? If you, the driver, lost the control and the composure, what's going to happen? There's going to be an accident, there's going to be a smash up, there's going to be a death, there's going to be a loss of life, something. So exactly the same, if you're going to lose the composure in the house, there's going to be an accident, there's going to be a bitterness, you need a repair. And it will take such a long time to repair the whole situation. Now there is brightness and there is happiness within the house. Now why do you want to make an accident? Why do you want to make it a problem? This happiness thing is moving very well. Now she may have said something. She's a passenger. All right, listen to it. Does it cost you anything to listen? No, it's very serious. We need to listen and we have to get it right. But you don't have to do everything what she says. What you can manage, just as I say, you know, we have to do it, softly say, inshallah. What? Softly say, no, we have to do it, but you say, inshallah, so that is not a promise, right? What do you say, you know, it's true, it's right, we 100% with you, but softly say, inshallah. Let's hope they don't listen to us. So they get so, or basla ho jayega. But there's a way how to do it. There's a way out to be. You can't work out things. Allah created you a man. He created you with akal and not naqis. A woman was created with nuksan. Hadith is saying it clear that they created with nuksan, so they will behave. They'll say something is out of line. But now, how can you just make an adjustment here, adjustment there, a little bit this side, that side, and just beautify the whole thing? Now how can you do it? After all, look at it. Look at it in retrospect, right? Look at it. Allah Ta'ala is interceding on her behalf. Allah Pak himself, with all his majesty and greatness, he is interceding on behalf of the woman. Ashkiruhunna bil ma'ruf. With kindness, live with them. You will need them, so live with them with kindness. Fa'in karihtumuhunna. You're going to feel upset with something or the other. Some behavior, some demand, something that they're saying. Maybe crooked, may not be right. Maybe right or maybe not right as well. But فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That Musa by some of his stories are still ringing in my head, you know. Let me just interject. He says, see, you must be very responsible. What you're doing, you must be very responsible. So he knows all about tools and all that. He says, you respect every tool of yours. We come to the story again. Every tool of yours, you remember. Right? Remember the tool, remember where you placed it. If there was something that you were repairing and you pulled out, that also you stop. He says, he was working for some big millionaires, you know, Willerton, he was working for them. But he saw that the bosses, you know, I was talking of not now, but 2 generations ago, 50 years ago. So he says the bosses, at that time, if say someone has to pull out a nail or something, the bosses are going, in those days they were using brown paper packets, they'll fill them up, right? And then they would say, see, we are wealthy, we don't need this thing here. But as a tool, you don't know when you will need it. Now, you said it's a tool, you just threw it like that. The day you need it, you have to make 10 phone calls, phone here, hunt for that thing. That thing, it was about 10 rands, now you have to pay 500 rands for it. Why? You didn't respect your tool. The tool, where it was placed, where it was used for, how it was used, if it's a used one, you kept it aside. The day you needed it, now you are set, you are very easy in mind. And you watch the thing, how it's done. Watch carefully how it's done. So when you watch how it's done carefully, in 2-3 experiences, you can learn the whole thing. How it's done, you look carefully how it's done, you got the thing at hand. But you see our qawm, right? We don't want to learn, to relax, and want things to happen. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is either you'll become sick, you'll become depressed, or number three, you'll become a lazy lout. You know what? And then your mind will be embroiled with jealousy, fights, turbulences, problems all the time. And I said, alright, let me roll up my sleeves. Let me do something as well. Now you got yourself, your mind is clear, you're easy, got something to do, fix up. I can roll up my sleeves, I can do it myself. What's the, I won't lose anything. He says that Afrikaner boss is telling him. He worked for these people, yeah. But now the same things can be applied. I said, kamasal in ankabut, you can use it for deen. He says to him that the work never killed anybody. Laziness may have killed people, but work never killed anybody. He says that Afrikaner boss had a heart attack on a Friday or something. So he went for an operation, and by Monday he was back on the work. He says comfortably that work never killed anybody. So you have to be relaxed, your mind must be there. But all the same usul's concept that he's using can be shifted to deen. He used it only for dunya, and his dunya prospered. We will not just restrict it to dunya, we'll shift the same concepts to deen as well. So فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. You may dislike something, right? But in this marriage, فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. There's a lot of good in it, a lot of good in it. Abundance of good. The very fact that this girl saves your iman, right? See, or she's doing 10 wrong things, stupid things, she's talking about nonsense, she's talking about behavior not right. But that having that wife, she saves your iman. She's around the house, right? Your iman is right. Your mind doesn't float around. You know. Generally, Muslim women are such, women, Allah's grace, Allah keep it like that, that even the husband is gone for 10 years, their mind just can't go out any person. They're so clean at heart. Their minds are so clean that their minds just can't get to any other person. Even the husband is disappeared for 10 years. But the same thing doesn't apply to a man. One day the wife is gone, what happens? Your mind will go to any funny, stupid thing, right? I tell the students, by even the mama is there, don't take a try. Don't say I got taqwa. Because if there's no white bread around, that brown also will do. See, your mind works differently. Your mind works differently, their minds work differently. So appreciate them, because their presence saves your iman, protects your iman. The very fact that they're doing the house, feeding you nicely, everything, right? Just make sugar. I remember Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia Sahib, rahmatullah, was alive, right? So someone complained that his son is not doing work too well. He's not working in the business or putting his brain in mind. So I like his answer. He says, is he reading Quran Sharif, reading namaz? Is he listening to his parents? If he's doing that, main things are done. This thing just unch niche on this side, it's alright. As long as he's reading namaz on time, reading his Quran Sharif on time, he's listening to his elders, alright, don't worry. Don't make a noise about it. Say, for example, it was the other way around. He was doing business very well, namaz is not right, Quran Sharif was not right, he's not listening to his parents. Then what's the good of that child? See how this old people, how they thought. So we're coming back now to this topic now. They've got 10 minutes left, right? So we said there can be two types of situations. One is ikhtiyari, one is ghair ikhtiyari. Not within your choice. You can't do anything about it. So one is, I said, you look for alternatives and try and substitute. Try and fill the void with substitutes, alternatives. That's one way. The other is, in the face of fitna, right? Rasulullah has given us a lot of things, a lot of teaching what to do. So the only thing we know of is Surah Kahf, right? That must be done a while, or the end of the Surah Kahf recited at the time of fitna. That's the only thing. But there's so much of teachings of Rasulullah explaining what to do, what type of precautionary measures to be adopted at the time of fitna. We don't talk about it, or we don't think about it. We don't, like one place, the end of the hadith, ma yushrifu laha yastashrifu lahu. That fitna is such, you don't even go, don't even look at it. It's a fitna, don't even look at it, right? Because if you look at it, that is, I'm looking, what is the, how they explain yastashrifu lahu. So the what they got there is yakharuhu. Yakharuhu, it'll smash him down. What? Yaglibuhu wa yakhiru, yakharuhu, it'll smash him down. If you're gonna be looking at it, that thing, that fitna will grab you. It will throttle you. It will control you. You won't even look at that thing. So that's now a teaching of Rasulullah Prophet with regards to a fitna, that you don't even go close to these things here. See, when the Nabi says something, then none of us should think, I am an exception to the rule. So no, just do this. So you don't even go near it, you don't even watch that thing. You want to watch that thing, then before you know it, and you are caught already, you are trapped, you can't come out of it. You know, you're trapped. The more the person is trying to come out, the more he's getting thrown down, he can't come out of that thing. So that's what happens with the fitna. You start looking at the phone. What happens after that? Yes, tashrifu, that thing will get you now. And the more you will try to get out, the more it will trap you in. You can't just get out of it. Try what you want. When I've thought about this whole thing here, I'm convinced it's nothing more, nothing less than a mini Dajjal. Nothing less than a mini Dajjal. I'm convinced about it, no matter who says what, but I'm convinced that the smartphones is nothing less than a mini Dajjal. And Rasulullah's directive is absolutely clear with regards to this, that you hear about him, keep your distance, don't go near. When his directive is there, then why must we experiment? Our iman, our akhlaq, our behavior, we go and experiment with these things here. We get caught into this now, we are looking for ways for rectifying, correcting ourselves, and we can't reel ourselves out of it. We've gone so deep into this thing here, that we can't just reel ourselves out. Like a drug, and you ask any rehab, people that have got drugged, right? What's the percentage of recovery? I think all of them will say, perhaps just 0.5% recovery, because they're recovering, and 6 months, 1 year down the line, there's a relapse. 6 months, 1 year, 2 years down the line, there's a relapse. So the percentage of recovery is just 0.5% or even less, right? So this phone here is more damaging, more detrimental than a drug. Why I say that it's more detrimental than a drug? Because the drug, the person is in drugs, right? He's destroyed himself, but yet he knows that this iman, this akhirat, and to believe in these things here. This phone is such, it damages your thinking and your beliefs. Ask anybody that's here, does it damage his beliefs or not? Does it damage his thinking or not? His thinking is destroyed. His understanding and reasoning is all warped. Right? Imagine, for approximately 70 years, they were talking about the Big Bang Theory, right? Offering in schools, universities, at every level they were pushing it, right? Now about two weeks ago, it's confirmed, all science sites say that this thing is flawed. After 70 years, where they pushed this thing down your throat so much, so hard, that Muslims began to believe in it, and Allah Pak make maaf, some Muslims were also showing that this comes under the verse of this Quran, this ayat. So they squeezed the Quranic ayat into this thing here. Now after a 70 year cycle, they discovered that this is warped. This is wrong. Now those that have made the tafsir of the Quran this thing here, I ask you, have they got the heart to come and make an open declaration or retraction? Okay, you know what we did was wrong. We used the Quran to force the tafsir into this. Have they got the heart? You see this phone, the damaging. And your beliefs also become warped after a time. And when your beliefs are warped, to rectify it, is it easy? And then is your Islam safe? Islam goes, your iman goes, everything, one thing after the other, just leaves you. There's another hadith which says, Well, yasa'aka baytu, your house will be sufficient for you. These are the directives at the time of fitna. One is very careful to maintain that. But don't restrict your precautionary measures to this thing here. Maintain it, but not restricted to this. That you keep your house. House must be sufficient. I asked this to several ulama, non-ulama. I say, there's five people sharing one house, right? Say five people, and five got smartphones, he's smart, and they all got smartphones. Right. When they all have got smartphones, I ask you, in all fairness, I ask you, will all these five people be on the same page? They've all got five phones, all are smart. I ask you, will all these five people be on the same page? He's in Paris, that person is London. That person is Makkah Mukarrama, he's in Australia somewhere, right? So they're not on the same page. See? But they're sharing the same house. So then what's the meaning of wal yasa'aka baytu? So then I explain, see, there can be five people living differently, worlds apart, right? But the thinking is the same, understanding is the same, behavior is the same. Each one is trying the same. He's trying, what he's trying, his whole fikr is how to bring the sunnah. How to be more kind, how to be more loving, how to be more forgiving, how to be covering faults, right? So his whole mind is different. Each one is competing with the other, how to read more Quran Sharif, how to show kindness, how to forgive, how to forget, right? So each one's mind is the same. Now, are these five people on the same page? I say they're not on the same page only, but on the same line. They're not just on the same page, but they're on the same line. But now, if we become slaves to this thing here, must remember that's the qaida of haram, of wrong, mushtabahat, right? That's the qaida. That if you get into these things here, leaving Allah Ta'ala, these things enslave you. What? Then can you do without it? Have you become a slave free or not? Now, you make up your mind, tum khuda ki bandagi karte ho, gulami karte ho, ya in khurafat ki gulami karte ho. Are you the slave of Allah Ta'ala, or you have enslaved yourself to this nonsense? You say, Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. But have you enslaved yourself to Allah Ta'ala, or have you enslaved yourself to all these nonsensical things? Ask yourself. So, if you want to be together, then all those five people need to belong to the same house. Nuh alayhi salam's son had drifted. When he drifted, so Allah Pak warned him, Laysa min ahl. He is not of your household. See that, how clear. Inna bani min ahli. My son is my household. And Allah Pak says, Innahu laysa min ahli. He is not of your household. Child, and what Allah Pak says, not your household. So what shifts him away from being the household? See, there must be a point. Outwardly it seems that he's sharing the same house. And Allah Pak is saying that he is not of the household. So then what makes him be not a member of the house? What makes him be not a member of the house? So Allah Ta'ala says clearly, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. His behavior is not right. His works, his behavior is not right. When his behavior is not right, then he's not of your house. So that means the ones whose behavior is the same, the thinking and the values are the same, the thought process is the same, they are of your household. And the thought process is not on the same line, on the same page, then though it's your blood, but it's not your household. But it's not your household, if you're going to be linking up to him, and you say, oh, we all need to coexist, right? We need to coexist. That's the line that's being used everywhere. We need to coexist. So this line, just to apprise you, let me show you a very sad tragedy. It happened in Durban. So I don't want to mention the names, but it happened in Durban. And they were talking like this, them two, we need to coexist and meet up, you know, be friendly too. So in the coexistence, Now, where it reached, the uncle of this whole family, he told me himself personally, so there is no interruption in the whole chain. The whole chain got it directly from the uncle. So he was the living uncle. It was a janaza in that house. So they called him first, because he's the uncle, so he went. As he went into the house, he's telling me now his own report. On one side there's a statue of Mandela, on one side there's a statue of Gandhi, some Buddha or something, got everything carrying on the statues there. So why it's a janaza, yeah, people will come from far and wide, but move these things out. The uncle only then discovered one is married to a Madraji, one girl, one is married to a black atheist, one is married to another kafir. See. But you see, when this coexisting mentality came, right? So they did their own thing, but later to discover what's the price they paid for coexisting. You went in to coexist, very nice, right? But then what was the price? What you earned out of it? Girl's religion is gone, parda is gone, haya and shame is gone. Every visible, perceivable Islamic symbol is gone out of the house. They don't even know that these are things that are not supposed to be in the house. At the janaza now, the father died and these are things that are out. But you see the price they had to pay for coexisting. Our style is, we don't fight with anybody. Islam is second to none in showing kindness. Like you saw in the looting, there was nobody second to Islam in showing kindness, right? So we'll do that. But in our ways, our culture, our behavior, you will do your own thing, we will do our own thing. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلْيَدِينُ You go your way, and we will go our way. We won't forge just a friendly atmosphere. No, we won't do that. Yes, we'll be kind, we'll be generous, we'll be fair playing, but you want us now to coexist. This is what it leads to. One thing leads to the other, you're friendly, then your children are getting married to his children are getting married to yours. In one generation, you have lost, your whole family is gone, kalas. One generation, it takes just one generation. And who are the leaders of kalima? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. In one generation, everything is lost. So, this maintaining and preserving your own values. Don't risk this thing here, don't gamble with it. Don't think that it is not important. It's very important. Very, very important. Those that are talking about this thing here, I get afraid. You know, Allah save us, save them also, and save their progenies. They're going, they're taking this line here. What's going to happen just now? The progenies will come up. When the progenies are going to come up, how are they going to behave? They have come to this point here, right? Let's celebrate with them. Go and make merry with them. And then from making merry, they'll marry again. First they'll make merry, and then they'll marry. What stops them? And they're actually saying this type of words. I don't want to say the places and names, right? But they actually say this word here, that let not religion become an obstacle to our love. What? Lying to anybody, Madraji, Christian, atheist, anybody. But, so the main thing is love now. Anything, no obstacle. Not religion, nothing. No, Allah wasn't coming between. See? So when they say all these type of statements, we just throw it out of the window. We got our original way, just keep to that.